And we're going to go now to our second segment in our program, 10 Who Made a Difference, the annual awards from the Santa Fe New Mexican. But first, we want to let you know about the Empty Stocking Fund. This is a fund that helps people who are trying to get by in our community during the holidays. People who might need money for things like food or clothes or repairs, car repair, home repair, things like that. Last year, the Santa Fe New Mexican and a coalition of partners raised nearly $250,000 that were distributed to applicants. So if you would like to apply or you know somebody who might like to apply for assistance, they need to go through an interview process, and you can find out more about that by going to santafenewmexican.com/empty_stocking, and you can find details there. Okay, let's now get back to our program. I'm very happy now to welcome Shel Nymark. He's president of the board of the Embudo Valley Library in Dixon, New Mexico. He's a ceramic artist, and he's the recipient of one of the 10 Who Made a Difference awards from the Santa Fe New Mexican. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me on.
It's great to have you, and we're talking to you over the airwaves or whatever from Santa Fe to Dixon. And we talked a few years ago when the Dixon Library was honored at the White House. It's just an extraordinary model of what a rural library can do, and it's much more than a library. What's going on there?
Oh, gosh, it's hard to know where to start. Of course, we have a children's literacy program for early childhood education. Parents and grandparents or relatives bring their kids 0 to 5 years old once a week for our Caterpillar Club, and they sing and do storytelling and little science experiments. And then we have our after-school program, which, I think there's about 25 kids signed up for it. And again, they do some wonderful science stuff. We've been involved a lot with STEM projects lately. We also have a makerspace. A friend who lives in town here, Steve Cox, is a professor at Northern, and he got a National Science Foundation grant. We're partners with them in that. And the Northern New Mexico College sends mentors to help teach kids here about robotics and computer programming and 3D. We have a 3D printer as part of the program. So that stuff has been great. We have our usual Wednesday night lecture series, which is very popular. It doesn't happen every Wednesday night, but we've had a lot of great events with that. We recently showed Al Gore's new film. This was a sequel to Inconvenient Truth. We just had a workshop that I participated in with Judy Goldberg, who does radio programming, and she's doing something for the Museum of New Mexico, where they're interviewing people who were affected by the counterculture and having people tell their stories. And we had 7 participants in that. Of course, we have our park behind the library that people hang out in, and the library owns the food co-op property, and they rent from us, which helps support the library, and the food co-op's just always a bustling place. We recently put some picnic tables outside of the co-op, and even today, and when it was so cold outside, I saw people hanging out at the picnic tables, eating their lunch and visiting, so we're really a community gathering place. I could go on and on. So much happens there. Our radio station. There's just lots of projects that we're doing all the time.
And all of this in a town of fewer than 1,000 people.
If you count Embudo and Dixon together, it's probably about 1,400. Dixon itself has about 9-something, according to the last census.
But, I mean, when people come, they're not coming from really all that far away. I mean, we're talking still a pretty small community, and so much going on there. Is this unusual for rural New Mexico, do you think?
I think it is. I mean, we are a center for other communities, too. We're the only library within about 25 miles and the only people putting on events like this. And so people come from Peñasco, Velarde, Pilar, Ojo Zarco, Chamisal, you know, all the villages around us. And people actually from Espanola send their kids to some of our programs. We have kids coming from Truchas to some of our programs. So we are appealing to a wider area. But, yeah, we're a unique organization as far as how much we're doing, I'd say.
How did it start?
Well, there's a library, a 501c3 library. We're a 501c3 library, which means that we don't get very much funding from the government. We get a little bit through the state library, but mostly we have to raise all our own funds, which is a big deal, as you can imagine. But similar libraries started in El Rito several years before ours, and my friend Marcia Brendan came to me one day and said, you know, wouldn't it be great if we had a library here like they do in El Rito? And I was totally behind it from the beginning. And a group of citizens, there were kind of an core group of about 8 people who met for, maybe 3 years before we actually opened, trying to figure out how we could pull a library together. So it's a totally grassroots thing.
It opened, what, about 20, 25 years ago?
25. It opened in May of 92. So this is our 25th anniversary this year.
And you kind of made a big leap when you got the building that you're in now.
Yes, for until 2002, we rented a smaller space kind of in the middle of town, and we didn't have room to run our programming, and so we also rented space from the Presbyterian Mission Building, which was across the street from us at the time. And one day they came to us and said, we just can't rent you anymore. We have other things going on. And so the board went, well, what should we do? And the old general store property was for sale in the middle of town, and we all agreed that we needed to buy the general store property and have it be our library. So it was $250,000, and we found a donor who was willing to give us $200,000 if we could raise $50,000 in the community, which we did in 3 weeks. It was just amazing. So many people were behind it that it just happened really fast. It was unbelievable. And 6 weeks after we said we wanted to buy that property, we were in it, and it was paid for.
What is life like for the people who live in Dixon? I sort of imagine it's a slower pace of life than in a lot of other places, even in New Mexico, in Santa Fe, Albuquerque, and so on. And I imagine everybody knows each other.
I think you're right about people knowing each other. You're wrong about it being a slower pace of life. There is so much to do here. And of course, the library's part of it, but everybody I know is busy all the time. Now, of course, a lot of us aren't driving freeways or things like that that you would be doing in Albuquerque. But no, life is not slow, but it's wonderful. It's a village life is great for me. It suits me really well personally. I love knowing everybody. I love walking into the food co-op or the post office, and I know everybody there, and they know me, and we have a history together. For those of us who've lived here a long time, we've been to each other's weddings and family funerals and celebrated together and mourned together. And yeah, I think village life is a wonderful thing.
One of the things that's interesting about your area is that there's so many organic farmers. That's part of the co-op and farmers market culture that happens there at the, I can't just say library, but the sort of community center?
Oh, yes. The library is the sponsor of our local farmers market. It happens seasonally. And on Wednesday afternoons, we've been having the farmers market for, maybe 8 or 9 years now. And the co-op does buy produce locally as much as they can. It's a full service food store. We have everything from Wonder Bread to organic kale and everything in between. So we try to serve all the members of our community with our food co-op and local produce as much as possible. We have special color tags for anything that's grown locally so people can know and support that.
Tell us about your work with the late Juan Esteban Arellano. He was a wonderful writer and promoter of acequias and kind of acequia agriculture.
Yeah, Esteban was a very passionate man about his culture and especially about acequias. And I knew Esteban ever since I moved to the Embudo Valley in 1983. And I had been thinking about some kind of map mural project to go on the side of the co-op building. The co-op building is owned by the library, and rent from the co-op goes to help support the library. So I was thinking the library could sponsor some kind of map of the acequias. And as an artist, I was thinking one of the big things for me was that the lines of the acequia on the landscape would just be beautiful, I thought. The curves of it, the way it follows the landscape. And I wanted to see what that looked like. And in talking to Esteban about it, he was very concerned about place names, ancient place names, and that they were disappearing. And the people here have names for every arroyo and, of course, all the acequias and other places too. And he wanted to make sure those were preserved. So we worked together on this idea for a ceramic map that went on the side of the co-op building, and we had lots of discussions about it, and it became a history project about a lot more than the acequias. And we decided that we would highlight historical parts of Dixon, and both of us felt it was really important to get teenagers involved. So we got some grants and hired 4 teenagers. We paid them to work with me, and in the process they learned the history of the area, and they learned how to work with ceramics and to draw, and putting a big public project together. And they take a lot of pride in what they did. And of course I knew a lot about the history of the area, but I learned so much more. It's just so rich in history here. There was an ancient pueblo here in the 12th, 13th century that only lasted about 100 years. One of the only battles of the Mexican-American War, there were about 3 or 4 battles in that whole war, and one of them happened in Embudo. It was a place where people gathered during the Pueblo Revolt here, and we don't know exactly what they were doing during the Pueblo Revolt, if they were hiding out, if they were planning, but we do know they gathered here. The Camino Real ran from Mexico City to Taos, ran through here. And then more recent history, the first hospital in northern New Mexico was here. There was none in Taos or Española, and people from the whole of northern New Mexico came and had their kids here and had their health care here. So the area is so rich, and it was really great for me to delve deeper into how much has actually happened here.
Do you find that young people are getting into books because of the library?
I think so. I think that we've been running our early childhood education program since about 97 or 98, I believe it was. Elena Arellano Esteban's wife was the one who started it. And I think since then, you know how they score the local schools, the Dixon Elementary School has gone way up once those kids started coming in. So I think that their literacies started happening earlier for kids around here, and consequently it really shows in how the public school has done. We have a summer reading program every year, and there's always prizes. One year it was a bicycle. There's been computers given away for the kids who read the most stories. So we've certainly been promoting reading a lot, and kids are participating.
Where do you get your books?
Well, lots of donations. We opened the library on 100% donated books, but then we also have some funds set aside to buy books too. So there are certain books that, to be a public library, we follow the rules of the state library that there are certain books that were required to have reference books and various things, and to be a public library. And being a public library, we get a small, like $6,000, I think, a year, something like that, from the state library, and also some GO bond money, which is money that when we vote for library funding gets distributed among the various libraries in the state, and we get some money from that. And some of that goes towards buying books. Usually when a patron requests a book that we think will be popular, we'll buy it.
What you're doing there, library, community center, radio station, what's going on at your radio station?
Well, we have, it's on 24 hours a day. When there's not a DJ there, it's pre-programmed music is playing. But we have about 6 or 7 different shows that local DJs produce. We have a Northern New Mexico Music Radio show on Saturday mornings. That's one of our most popular. And we have a political show. We have a stargazing show. There's a lot of left-wingers here, so the political show is pretty popular. And then we run some things like Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!
And this is Low Power FM.
It's Low Power FM, yeah.
That goes to a fairly limited area, but accessible to everybody within, what, a few miles, right?
Yes. So pretty much everybody in Dixon and Embuto get it. And some people get it up in Peñasco, depending on where they are. And I've even gotten it in the southern part of Taos. You know, it'll cut out while you're in the canyon, and then when you climb up there towards the plateau below Taos, I've gotten it there. So it's kind of spotty once you get several miles away from it.
KLDK, what's the frequency?
96.5.
96.5, ladies and gentlemen, if you happen to be driving along that area.
And incidentally, El Dique is a nickname for Dixon.
Right.
Hey, are you going to El Dique, man? So KLDK just totally worked out great.
KLDK. So you're a library, you're a food co-op, farmers market, radio station, lecture space, maker space, 3D printing, after-school programs for senior citizens. You're planning for a seed library. I mean, this is an extraordinary model. Are people in other parts of the state or other rural areas, like, looking at what you're doing?
Well, first, there's about 14 501c3 libraries in the state, and five of them are here in Rio Riba County. And each one of the, I'm not real familiar with the ones outside of our county, but the ones here, each one is pretty unique. They really reflect the desires of their town and what their town wants. So in Abiquiu, for example, they are into genealogy, and they have a big genealogy program there, and people go and work. I'm not exactly sure of the mechanics of it, but they go and do genealogy work, and they also do archaeology work there. El Rito also has a makerspace. They're part of the Science Foundation grant like we are. So, yeah, it is happening in other places, but I think that the state, that a lot of rural communities in the state would benefit by using our model. The volunteerism that happens here is incredible. This was several years ago, we had over 75 people a week volunteering on our property, which is pretty extraordinary for such a small town. And I think it's because people are excited about what's happening here. So I think other rural communities could do this, and I think it would really be a wonderful thing for this state and for each community. Yeah.
Is there a way that you might network with one another?
You know, it's something I've been thinking about for a while, and I would like to see happen. I'm going to try to work on it a little bit more this year, but I would like to see a statewide rural library initiative. Our hardest issue is making our budget. Our budget is about $100,000 a year. The other libraries here in Rio Riba range from about $45,000 to about $75,000 a year. And we spend so much time trying to raise money, and it's, we all go through crises all the time, you know. How are we going to keep our doors open next week? How are we going to pay our electric bills, our employees? And it seems like if there was a basic amount of money that each rural library could count on, perhaps from the state every year, it would make our lives so much easier, and it would not cost very much. And I think it could bring the state educational standards up, the employment opportunities. I think that we are economic development here, too. Yeah, I think it would be great if we were a model for the state.
Yeah. If people are listening and they want to come up to Dixon and maybe just, you know, visit the community and come when there's something going on, when's a good time for them to come, and how can they find out more?
Well, everybody is welcome to come visit our library. We're open 11 till 6, Monday through Saturday. The co-op is open every day. You could call the library, 505-579-9181. We also have a wonderful community bulletin board called the Town Crier, and probably if you googled Town Crier Dixon, New Mexico, you would find it, and that will announce all kinds of events that are happening here. It comes out every day.
Shel Nymark is a ceramic artist. He's president of the board of the Embudo Valley Library in Dixon, New Mexico. He's a recipient of one of the 10 Who Made a Difference Awards from the Santa Fe New Mexican. Shel Nymark, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. I appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Radio Cafe. I'm your host, Mary Charlotte. This program is produced in collaboration with the Santa Fe New Mexican, an independent newspaper since 1849. The New Mexican is on the web at santafenewmexican.com, where you can find out about our community, and you can subscribe to the digital and paper editions. You can also find previous episodes of the Radio Cafe on the web at radiocafe.org. And if you want to send any feedback on the show, ideas, or comments, please write an email to feedback@radiocafe.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.